All right, stepping into the studio, a couple of young kids just starting out in the business, Ryan Gosling and Damien Chazelle, who are behind this movie, The First Man, and Richard Roper is saying that The First Man is a movie that, that a human being should not miss. So congratulations on that. That is it's a great, great, great movie. And I got to say, I'm a crazy like space aviation guy when it comes to movies. And the opening scene, which, you know, The Right Stuff has a similar kind of concept scene in it. And I always thought that's one of the coolest scenes I've ever seen in film. And you beat it. And that is saying something right there. So that was absolutely amazing. So congratulations on
this.
Ryan, tell us a little bit about how this started for you. Is this a story that you tracked with when you were a kid, that you were interested in? What brought you to this project?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up that first scene, because when I first met Damien, this was before La La Land, we met about this film. And I think essentially you just described that scene in detail. You know, we immediately, I was tucked under the wing of a B-52 bomber in an X-15 about to be shot into the atmosphere, and he said, you know, like, that's how I'd like to start, and we'll end on the moon, and then we'll figure out the rest.
Pretty much the same way NASA did it. Yeah. About 61 to 69, we'll figure it out, right?
And then I had this opportunity to read Jim Hansen's book about Neil, and I realized just how little I knew, how much sacrifice was involved in these missions, that we have this sort of gilded image of them being a predestined success,
right,
but that it was anything but. It was, you know, this one of the greatest human achievements, and yet it was littered with failure, the road to it. And so I thought Damien's instinct to sort of focus on Neil and Janet Armstrong and just take a deep dive into them personally and experiencing this through their eyes was really inspiring, and so yeah, that's sort of how it began.
I'm going to jump into and do the business part of this. The movie opens everywhere, including of course in Chicago, October 12th. That's this Friday. First Man, it has 112% on Rotten Tomatoes. First time ever. It's actually over 100%. In all seriousness, it's a great film. So check it out, guys. Damien, I want to talk a little bit about your techniques here. And Ro mentioned the opening scene and then, of course, the moon landing. And there's so much intensity and almost a claustrophobic feel you brought to this. And also, if you could talk a little bit about the use of music, which obviously is a huge thing to you. And sometimes we have this operatic score and then we get that dead silence. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that for us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess both things, on both fronts, it was about trying to really give the audience a truly immersive experience, you know, so hopefully you come out of this movie feeling like you've been on these missions, you've been to space, and also that you've been privy to these really private, intimate moments between Neil and Janet and their kids. Ryan had a great way of sort of describing what we were trying to aim for the movie back when we were working on it. It was the moon in the kitchen sink. It was about, how can you use those extremes? You have the biggest cosmic adventure in human history on the one hand, but on the other end, you know, this was going to be, it needed to be a really personal family story about this marriage and this family struggling through the years that led up to the moon landing. And so we felt like if we could shoot it in a way where the audience always felt like they were right there physically, they were there in the capsule. And sometimes that means only seeing what the astronauts would see, not going outside, that they were there in the household, that they were there with the kids and with the families, sort of as Ryan was saying, you could hopefully come away feeling like you got to see what Neil saw. Down to like moments on the moon where we shoot a lot of it from Neil's POV. Yeah. That was the angle I wanted to take.
It's great. Genius because it's intimate. It's such an intimate film and it allows you to have great intimate performances because the camera's real tight and it feels like a family drama. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you're going to work in a space capsule, right? And it takes you back and forth in such a way. And I'm sorry, I'm obsessed with the first scene, but there is a moment in that where your use of sound and structure and what Neil Armstrong is seeing in that moment and the changes where he leaves the atmosphere, spoiler alert, leaves the atmosphere and he sees that arc of the very thin veneer layer of what's left of the atmosphere. And we've seen it a couple of times in both science stuff and in like I said, in The Right Stuff and other things. But all of a sudden you realize it was shot like how they'd really see it, because you get inside any kind of government built plane or anything and it's kind of cheap inside feeling, right? Mm-hmm. You look at it and it's not what you think. Mm-hmm. It's not Hollywood.
It always looks like it needs a paint job.
And usually, you made the decision to make it look like that, not to make it look like it really looks. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, the those real planes, those real capsules, I wouldn't call them reassuring if you're about to get in them. You know, the look of any of them.
Right.
I think for the whole movie, we wanted people to feel the fear. You know, feel, you know, my God, what these people were willing to do, the capsules they were willing to put themselves into, the risks they were willing to take. And yeah, you're talking about, I mean, sound certainly played a big part of that, just trying to immerse the audience in that sound sensory experience. Music, you were talking about, was a big part of that. Just hopefully making you feel almost like virtual reality, you know, where you just, even though, you know, this is a movie, it's a two-dimensional medium, you're sitting there in the audience, you're not actually going into space, that hopefully you just feel on a sensory level like you're having that experience.
Let's talk about the performance here, Ryan, if we can, really quickly, about the idea of Neil Armstrong as a figure, because obviously he passed away, you know, well before you were considering this role, right? So how were you able to find him and his voice? Because he doesn't have much of a voice. He's one of the quietest, least, lowest profile American heroes.
Yeah, well, there aren't a lot of physical things you can physicalize in order to create the performance and create windows into him. But there's an extraordinary depth of character to him that the more you learn about him, the more fascinating he is, the more his reasons for being remote. There's just many layers there. And the challenge was, but also, you know, was to honor that and not to sort of make him into somebody that is more cinematic and fun to watch, but somebody that, you know, to honor the depth that was there and to try and create windows into him so that the audience could see into sort of, for instance, the grief that he was experiencing during the course of these missions, mm-hmm. or just the extraordinary amount of just how brilliant he was, how he was a person who lived his life outside of his own self-interest. And he's heroic in these ways that are... you know, that only if you have a filmmaker like Damien who wants to pay attention to those subtleties and wants to create those windows so that we can see into the character, you know, you're not going to get a chance to really get to know Neil in the way that he deserves to be known.
But that's one of the great things about the film and the story is Neil Armstrong was the perfect man for that job, mm-hmm. because he wasn't interested in self, you know, glory. He wasn't mm-hmm. interested in becoming a superstar. And Damien does a brilliant job of peppering the supporting cast with all kinds. First of all, almost every actor we recognize, you know, even if it's just one scene where, like, mm-hmm. you know, there's Kieran Hines and there's Patrick Fugit, and there, I mean, just actor after actor, Corey Stoll, and some of them were such bigger than life characters, so it's mm-hmm. great. And of course, Claire playing Neil's wife is, you know, gets the big emotional scene, so you're there as the rock solid heart and soul of the film, but all these other things are kind of exploding around you with these other folks.
Yeah, and creating, you know, texture, like, you sort of love Neil because you love the people around him. Mm-hmm. You know, you realize how it says a lot about him by who he's surrounded by. And I felt that was a beautiful way to get to know Neil, because I didn't have the opportunity to meet him. But to get to know somebody through their family, through their children, through their friends, their coworkers, mm-hmm. it's just they painted a very loving portrait of him. He was very admired by the people around him.
And it touches the modern zeitgeist a little bit here, too, if I can get, you know, really, really arcane here. But it's because astronauts are often played as reluctant cowboys. Mm. And you played him as a reluctant nerd. And I love that. Because he's an engineer.
Engineer.
Right?
Yeah. Purdue University.
Purdue, a civilian engineer who became, the baddest ass pilot in the history of being a pilot. And he had to find a way. He had to find a way to survive in this kind of cowboy world of NASA and bureaucratic world of NASA. Mm-hmm. And I thought you hit every single one of those notes. For people, if you're a space geek, you are going to love this movie. I'm willing to stake that this is the best space movie of all times. I'm willing to say that right now, and I've seen them all. But this is a gigantic statement, because it's that over is littered with 4-star films, right? Mm. And you guys really pulled something off here, because it's a human story, and it's not, you know, the swell of music. And for, you know, two guys who worked on La La Land together, you know a little something about swelling music, right? You know, it's used so judiciously here. It's really something. And to that point, how At what point did Damien come to you, Ryan, and go, all right, I know we're working on this movie, and it's like, you know, a modern big musical. I want to do this this Quiet Space movie about a really a guy who's got a lot of tragedy in his life and ends up on the moon. Oh, are you in? How did that happen?
Well, that's how we first met. We met about First Man, and then but Damien had a musical to make first, and so we ended up talking more about Gene Kelly than Neil Armstrong.
Yeah,
in that first meeting. But you know, it was. God, we're so lucky.
Were you on that movie at that point, or no? Were you on La La Land at that point?
No.
Was that the meeting that got him on La La Land, Damien?
Yeah, I mean, neither movie was a reality at that point. I mean, I didn't have a script for First Man, and La La Land, I had a script, but no one was making it. You know, it was just sort of languishing, and so it was
on that blacklist, right? Wasn't it on that list of scripts that
the no, it didn't even make. You mean the sort of like
the scripts that hadn't been like made? There were these great scripts.
Yeah, no, it didn't even make that. So it was Whiplash was on that.
Yeah.
I remember once, but no, La La Land was like literally, it was like the poor orphan. Just
apparently, he wants to be a one-hit wonder off of Whiplash.
He's gonna do this next.
It happens, kid. You know.
No, but even though they were very different films and they weren't a reality, it was like the way that Damien described them was, you know, they were both stories that lended themselves to the big screen, and they were both stories that you would want to see in a theater and experience with other people, even though that they were wildly different. And I felt even in that meeting, even though there wasn't a script for First Man, just the way that he described that first X-15 sequence, I just realized just how immersive his films, you know, could be, and how just how wildly ambitious he was, but that he had the talent to back it up.
And the correct me if I'm wrong, Damien, but you shot the finale in 70mm, the landing sequences sequence itself.
The moonwalk itself, we shot an IMAX film, and which was itself kind of an amazing experience and opportunity to shoot. We shot it on a giant rock quarry out at night, lit by sort of a giant light off in the distance, simulating the sun.
Wow.
And so that was
fire.
The light caught fire twice.
Oh, geez. Our cinematographer built this light. It was the most powerful movie light I think ever made.
Wow.
And then
there's a reason they don't make them that powerful, because they catch fire.
There is the one chance you'll catch on fire. Other than that, let's roll.
But luckily, really awful to lose a guy making the landing as opposed to at the landing.
Good.
That's really
he made a backup, so we were able to keep shooting. But
we were able to keep shooting, and then it started snowing. So we also have great outtake footage of you know, Neil and Buzz Aldrin coming down the ladder in the snow before we stopped.
Houston, we did not prepare for this.
You're not going to believe this.
I left a footprint. It's a snowy footprint.
But it's a footprint. Are we good here?
It's a wonderful life, Neil. It's a wonderful life.
Yep. It's a real winter wonderland.
Oh, my goodness.
During that week.
Well, what's next for you two? I would like to... I don't know. I'm sure you guys have agents and everything. But if you don't, I'd be more than happy to put the deal together if you guys want to work together on something. Yeah.
You got any ideas?
Could write it on a napkin.
Yeah, right. I have a cocktail napkin right now. I've got an idea for. Can I ask, in this moment where America is kind of looking at itself and saying, "Who are we? And what are we? You know, what are we all about?" And you go back to NASA, right? And NASA is one of those things that I think everybody can agree on. And landing on the moon and space exploration has always been sort of a hallmark brand for the United States. What do you want this movie? What do you want the First Man to say to the United States?
Well, you know, actually, I think what's so fascinating about this period in NASA is that it wasn't this foregone conclusion. In fact, that you know, certainly we all know of the '60s as a very sort of divided time, but also that even opinions about space exploration at that time were very divided, and you know, the sort of argument about the pros and the cons, and an argument that you can understand when you look at something like the moon mission for what it really was. It was this outlandish idea. You know, it was right at the start of the '60s. We don't have the technology yet to do it, but we're going to say, yeah, we're going to put people on the moon by the end of the decade. It's insane. And actually, I think we take for granted how insane we take for granted the whole thing because we live in the aftermath of
success. It being a success, we take for granted.
Exactly. And I just find it astonishing. And I think I hope audiences take away from the movie just, you know, to look at, to be reminded of that this was ordinary human beings. This was a group of human beings, not superheroes, getting together to do something utterly extraordinary, utterly unprecedented, not knowing if it would work. In fact, there was a lot of evidence it wouldn't work, you know, and walking this road filled with failure and loss and even tragedy to finally culminate in the success story that we all now can kind of revel in. I think that's it's just an insanely inspiring, moving, relevant testament to heroism and what humans are capable of.
And that's what I think is the key to the domestic scenes, because we see this. We see that this is an American family. There's a wife and a mother trying to hold the family together.
Yeah.
There's a moment where Neil has to tell his sons he's probably gonna go to the moon, and of course his sons, well, does that mean you're gonna miss the swim meet that I've got coming up? Which mm-hmm. which reminds us that these were not, as Ro has been saying, these were not superheroes. These were very flawed, very brave, and sometimes almost crazy men. To take this on, and a lot of the times their wives were saying that, like, I didn't sign up for this much. And Ryan, maybe you can talk a little bit about playing with Claire Foy and against her and opposite her and with her, and what that brought to the film.
Well, it's sort of half of my performance is Claire's hard work, because she makes Neil somebody that you can access him emotionally because her performance is so powerful, and mm-hmm. she's so strong on screen. She's such a great representation, I think, of Janet, who I had the opportunity to meet before she passed away. And I always knew what she was doing was so was obviously so helpful to me, and I knew to the film. But it's been great to do. To spend time now with the Armstrong sons, mm-hmm. because they really can't, and it's really beautiful the way that they regard her and her performance of their mother. Right. They really feel like it's a real testament to who she was.
That's fantastic.
That's got to be amazing. That's a lot of pressure on Claire Foy, right? I mean, that's just—it's crazy to think about that. Where they're like, "Well, Mom would have done it this way, yeah. right?" But it is. She does. It's an amazing performance.
And you essentially yeah. built the house, right? Is that correct, Amy? The Armstrong home, like a replica of their home at the time.
Yeah. But both homes that they live in, we sort of did kind of full scale replicas of. But all that was because we were able to go to the existing house, but also that Rick Armstrong, Neil's son, drew us a floor map. He's kind of like his dad. Wow. Very just engineering mind. Yeah. And he was able to draw it out, and it was an example of many of just the sons, the family being so helpful to us. We couldn't have gotten it right at this level, mm-hmm. To this degree, if it weren't for them. And the fact that they, say what they say about Claire's performance, and I might add Ryan's performance.
That's a little something there too.
That they feel they see their mom and dad honestly reflected on screen. That I think for us is the biggest relief and the biggest joy.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite stories is when we rebuilt their childhood home, and it for us it felt like some kind of because we had seen it in these Life magazine photographs. Yeah. It felt like time travel, and they came to set, and we were all watching them to see what they would say. What a surreal experience to have happen. And Rick said, yeah, it's good. Do you want me to tell you what's wrong?
Right to it. Okay.
Oh, man. Went. All right. First Man opens.
Son of Neil.
Opens Friday. Take a picture. What do you do? Get to this movie to see it, because it is, to
it's
my
a great
eye,
film. It's a great film.
One of the greatest space movie. If you're into space, this does it in a way that I think this is so true to what those really, really brave people mm-hmm. did. And what they experienced, and how scary that whole thing really was, and it takes you into it in a real way, in a sciencey scary way, not a monster scary way. But if you want to be a monster scary way, then go ahead and do it that way.
People should know this too. Yeah. It's also entertaining as hell. You got to know that going into this. This is not a history. It is a history lesson, but it's beautiful, and it's lovely, lovely, lovely performances throughout, and can be really funny at times as well. So it's the complete package as a film. People should know that.
First Man, Ryan Gosling. Thank you very much, Damien Chazelle.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for everything you've done. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Right. Thanks, guys.